What I want to do this morning is look at our health service once again. It is so, so important to us. And this is around the 10-year vision that Michelle O'Neill, our health minister, announced just a matter of days ago. It is her 10-year roadmap, as she calls it, for how we are going to change how we are treated in Northern Ireland, and she's going to really try to improve the system. It's a vision that has been welcomed by many health professionals, the likes of John Compton, who is a former head of the Health and Social Care Board, has said that it is a very promising vision and that he absolutely supports what the minister is trying to do. The very latest praise for the plan is the leading UK health expert, Nigel Edwards. He says the Bangor report, which the minister commissioned and is now trying to implement, is a comprehensive and thoughtful plan which sets out a range of sensible actions to improve health and social care in Northern Ireland. But here's what happened last night. At about 5 o'clock last night, before Northern Live Television was going on air a few hours later, I received a phone call from someone, a very senior person within the health sector in Northern Ireland, to say that they were very surprised that, given how the minister was saying that waiting lists are at the very, very heart of restoring public confidence with you in Northern Ireland, that she had not been given a single penny from the October monitoring round. What is that monitoring round? And bear with me here so I spell this out. And here's for a single penny away for waiting lists. And that's key. When I'm talking about not being given money, it's for waiting lists, okay? Now, let's step back from this one second. The minister is given two types of money for the health service, right? So one is the big budget that she gets each year to run the health service. And that's what she's saying the executive, the government in Northern Ireland have to decide how much they're going to give her. And can the executive prioritise? And Sinn Féin and the DUP have bought into this, giving the health service a priority so that they can radically change the system. And that's the big budget that she gets. But then you see three times every year, in January, in June and in October, there is something called the monitoring round, okay? And what that means is extra money that departments haven't spent. So maybe the Department of Education hasn't spent some money. Maybe the roads department, what's that called now? Department of whatever it's called, right? The infrastructure. They'll keep on changing the names. Maybe they haven't spent some money. And so what they do is they have a pool of extra money and they then say, where are we going to spend it? And that's essentially what the monitoring round is. They then give it to who really, really needs it. October monitoring round, when there was a chance to get some money, waiting lists has not been given a single penny. It's our understanding that the health minister didn't ask for any money whatsoever. So it is a genuine, open question to the executive this morning. In a time when waiting lists are absolutely unacceptable, and we can all agree on that, why has our health minister not been fighting tooth and nail for extra money for the October monitoring round that just happened? It is also our understanding that she may get some of that money in January. And I know this may sound complicated, but let me again take just a couple of seconds to tell you the relevance of that. Any of this monitoring round money has to be spent before the end of the financial year. When is that? The end of March next year. So you might remember the whole hullabaloo over Simon Hamilton last year when he was health minister. He fought and fought at exactly this time last year for extra money for waiting lists in Northern Ireland, and he got £40 million. And so what then happened was with that £40 million that was given to the health service the independent for waiting lists, the independent sector were scrambling and scrambling to try to treat as many patients as possible. And what happened was they couldn't spend it in time. Remember, that was November to March. That's the time window they had to spend this money to get as many of you treated as they possibly could. And they couldn't spend the whole 40 million. So some of the money, I think it was around about 15 million, had to be spent elsewhere. And it was spent elsewhere in the health service, but it was not spent on waiting lists because they didn't have enough time. So why would Michelle O'Neill wait until January next year to ask for the money? Why isn't she asking for it now? And in waiting till January next year, what does that mean? They've got even less time to spend that money. Or again, it'll have to go on something other than waiting lists. So we're trying to establish from our government, why have they done this? There must be some type of strategic reason why they have done this. The Alliance MLA, Paula Bradshaw with us today. Paula, your reaction to this?
Well, I can concur with everything you've said. I've got the monitoring round here in front of me, and while some money was allocated to service, it certainly wasn't for waiting lists. The other issue I think that you haven't touched upon today is that at the start of this mandate...
Now, the money that did go for the health service, I think it was something like £8 odd million, and some of that money was spent on defibrillators, for example, which do save lives.
Absolutely.
And maintenance. Why not waiting lists?
Well, absolutely. You know, the issues have been there. The lessons should have been learned from last year. The independent sector, as you said, scrambled around to try and do it. So I want to know, the Health Minister's coming to the committee this morning, I want to know what her targets are for the rest of this financial year. I want to know what money she's allocated. But most importantly, I want her to know, has she set up with the private sector and within the health service the mechanisms to deal with the waiting list once she starts pouring the money in? Because I don't have very much faith at the minute in this. We as a committee were meant to get the monitoring rounds before the finance minister made the announcement in the House, and we didn't get it. And so that leaves me very suspicious as to why we didn't get that. But the point I was going to make earlier was that the health service was meant to get a 3-year budget, but because of Brexit, the finance minister decided to put that into 1 year again. And the problem with that there is then that the money at the end of March will get put back into the pot and have to be reallocated again. And that does a disservice to those people who are sitting waiting on essential treatments and surgery.
Well, and I want to, again, focus this on people in Northern Ireland, because sometimes when we do this type of subject, and I'm talking about monitoring rounds and all this malarkey, it would send you to sleep. But this is very, very important. And again, let's imagine that person who contacts the Nolan Show regularly, And they are sitting on a waiting list. And if you are one of these people, feel free to ring us today, 03030 80 55 55. And they may have cancer. They may have other diseases that are really, really restricting their lives. They are in acute pain, and they are not being seen within time. What they are hearing from this program this morning, they might have heard, like they did last year, okay, look, government has scrambled as much money together as possible, and we're prioritising people like you. We're prioritising trying to reduce waiting lists for you right now with this extra money. That's our priority. This year, what they are hearing in terms of an October monitoring round is that they're not getting one extra penny in terms of waiting lists. Why not? Stay there, Paula, one second. I want to come back to you. Sam McBride from the newsletter with us today. Does this add up to you, Sam? Can you understand it?
Morning, Stephen. On the face of it, this seems fairly extraordinary. I mean, the monitoring round had actually quite a considerable amount of money in it this year. There was money which had been meant to go in the voluntary exit scheme, which the finance minister, Martin O'Meara, seems to have rebranded as a sort of stimulus package, first step stimulus package, he described it as. There's money for all sorts of things, modernising buses, putting LEDs into streetlights. There was some money for health. There was money for a drug for muscular dystrophy, I think it was. But it does seem extraordinary that there isn't any money, and even more extraordinary if it hasn't been even requested by the Minister for waiting lists.
That's my understanding.
Political pressure, which the executive faces in the whole area of health.
So they've spent millions on modernising the bus fleet. They've actually spent some money on Irish language, haven't they? Department for Education for Irish Medium Nurture Units.
That's right. I think it's about £1 million for those.
And not a penny extra money on waiting lists, Sam.
I mean, unless there is some very obvious explanation to this, that for instance, the minister had this money, which was an overhang from Simon Hamilton's request, and they just can't spend any more. That in itself would raise further questions, because how fast are these waiting lists going to be cleared? Even if they get the money, if they can't spend more than a few million at a time. But on the face of it, it's very difficult to find an explanation for it.
Well, when we talk about buses and things like that, let's remember that there is capital money and there is resource money. So there are two different types of money, and I know that this will get complicated. So the resource money, so maybe we shouldn't make the comparison with buses, but in terms of resource money, here's what we do know. We do know that £40 million was found last year for waiting lists. This year, not a penny. Not a penny. Paula Bradshaw?
Yes, well, I would just go back on Sam's point there in terms of some money hanging over from the allocation for Simon Hamilton. That was my point. It actually got subsumed within the health department and didn't actually get spent on tackling the waiting list. And so what we're into is this next 12-month cycle. And as you said, it's really just down into 3 months now if she gets money in January. But again, I will be asking her this morning what her plans are, because she's said waiting list is her priority, and I haven't seen any evidence of that to date.
Even if she is getting the money in January, why would she not make that public to the health sector now to give them more time to get ready to treat the patients? Even if the money isn't coming until January, why would she not say, and Martino Mueller, why would they not team up? And these are genuine questions again. I'm not having a pop at them. I'm trying to understand why our finance minister, Martino Mueller, with our health minister, Michelle O'Neill, would not say, OK, there is no money in the October monitoring round, but you are getting 20 million, 30 million, 10 million, whatever it is, in January of this year. So to the health sector, get ready, because we know you have a tight window to treat these patients before the money cannot be spent after March. Again, the independent sector has not been told. There is no heads up to them that they're getting any money in January. Paula?
Well, I think that the monitoring rounds are based on what money is departments haven't spent, and then they put it back in the pot and then it's reallocated. So I think we don't know what's going to happen in January.
So in other words, they might not get any money in January again.
Absolutely. The other point, and it goes back to your point, Stephen, there are people sitting on waiting lists at home, and part of the outcome and the long-term prognosis for people depends on their mental health. Even if they don't have capacity at the minute to provide money for elective surgery, for example, and consultant appointments, then the people who are sitting on the waiting list, they should be treated in terms of pastoral care at the minute, so that they're getting the information and support. A lot of people are at home, they've had to take time off work, and that's whatever depression and anxiety and stuff sets in. It'd be very easy for the minister to put money in to provide that support in the interim to deal with people's mental health issues.
Brian on the phone with us this morning, 0330 80 55 55. Morning to you, Brian.
Morning, Stephen.
Just to clarify one thing. So, and again, capital money and resource money. When we talk about the buses and defibrillators and that type of capital money, it probably was unfair of me this morning to make that direct comparison. Okay, to money for waiting lists. But the optics of this, the optics of there is money going to other things, but no explanation as to why money is not going to waiting lists, is one that I need clarity on. What does it feel like to you, Brian?
Well, Stephen, I mean, the problem with the health service being honest last lot of years, and what you're really saying, what I'm really thinking of here, I mean, in simple terms, I mean, suppose the easiest thing to say is really build another hospital, but that's easy to say. But what I'm saying is that if I get a grant, whatever it is, from the Lotto, I have, for a particular project, I have to account for every penny that I get that money for. Now, as far as I can see, you mentioned 40 million they got, the health service got.
This time last year.
Yes, but there's still waiting lists, there's still crisis, and they're still in crisis. That's be simple about it.
Well, Michelle O'Neill has said the health service is a breaking point.
Breaking point, worse again. But why, like, for the Joe blogs on the street, Stephen, where's the money going to? You know, we're 40 million, God bless us, where's the money? If it was cutting down on anything, like waiting lists, Yes, it's been well spent then. But
that money is spent. That money is gone.
Gone, but where did it go to?
Well, it went on trying to reduce winning lists, and they had to spend it by March last year, and they couldn't spend it all.
Well, put in Norway, if they build an extra two wards...
In time.
For toxic state, if they build an extra two wards, then you could say that money was spent on that.
Well, what happened? Oh. What happened of the 40 million that Simon Hamilton got last year, about 25 of it was spent on waiting lists, but they ran out of time, so the other 15 million was spent elsewhere in the health service. And again, you could argue, okay, that was spent elsewhere in the health service, not directly in the waiting list, but if you improve other areas of the health service, maybe ultimately it'll improve waiting list. But the point is, again, let's focus here. Simon Hamilton announced it last year, November. There was a scramble to spend the money before the end of March. And it seems that what this executive is doing this time is leaving it until at least January to announce it, which means they've got even less time to spend it. Philip Smith joining us today, the Ulster Unionist Party MLA. You're the party's finance spokesperson. What's your understanding, Philip, of what's gone on here?
Well, good morning, Stephen. Well, I've asked specifically twice this week the very question that you're asking. First, to the minister when he made his monitoring round statement earlier in the week, the same day as Bingoa was launched. And I asked him exactly that question, which was, you know, what requests had there been for additional money that weren't covered the monitoring round, specifically around health, and he didn't really answer me.
For waiting lists is important, isn't it?
It is. And the second, yesterday at the Finance Committee, we had finance officials there, and again I asked them, had they had requests from the Health Department for additional funding specifically for addressing waiting lists? And again,
what's their answer?
The answer was essentially no. And if you look at the monitoring round, you can see that there's been no change on health budget between now and June. And of course, in the Bigot report, number one objective, addressing waiting lists. And I think it's bizarre that on the same day that Bingoa was launched, it was an ideal opportunity for the health minister to send a strong message to the public about how seriously she was taking this and maybe putting in £50 or £60 million to really attack the waiting list.
Well, she can't do it if she doesn't have the money. If the money's not there, the money's not there.
But that's where the executive should have took a strategic decision and actually found money. Don't forget...
From where? Would you take it from education? Would you... See, this is why I want to do more programmes on that. Where are they going to get this money from?
Well, they found money across the board for a variety of projects, and I appreciate the distinction that you've made as well between capital and revenue. But let's look, renewable heat and incentives. There was £30 million that we had to spend that we didn't need to spend through incompetence. So money can be found for these issues. So this was meant to be the number one priority of the Northern Ireland Executive, and they really should have been seeing where they could scrape together the money to target this. As you say, come January, even if they find money then, the challenge of being able to spend that before the end of the financial year is going to be very, very difficult. As we move into the next financial year, I mean, the officials told us yesterday that we're potentially looking at a 4.4% reduction in our resource budgets for next year. And the feedback that they've had from the Treasury so far is not to expect any increase in. And their interpretation was, at best, it'll stay the same and might even reduce from the Chancellor's autumn statement. So the reality is that things are going to get worse going forward. So this was the ideal opportunity to really attack this problem, because as a point you've made, people on waiting lists for cancer, for orthopaedics, and the issues that it's having on people's well-being, on their mental health, nearly a quarter of a million people in Northern Ireland. I mean, it's a phenomenal amount of people. Surely, if this is the number one priority of Bingoa, the number one priority of the executive, they could have found money to at least start attacking the problem.
Here's a statement to the Nolan Show this morning from the Department of Health. The minister has discussed the ongoing challenges facing the health and social care, including waiting lists, with executive colleagues, and has successfully secured agreement to take forward the actions set out in Health and Wellbeing 2026, Delivering Together. The need, says the minister, for significant additional funding to drive transformation and tackle waiting lists has been part of these discussions. It would not be appropriate for the minister to preempt the budget decisions to be taken by the executive. However, over 40 million is already being spent on additional elective activity this year. This includes over 12 million ongoing additional diagnostic activity. So Sam McBride, you can see what they're doing there. They are not addressing the point as to why our health minister has been given not a single penny for waiting lists from the October monitoring round.
By implication, it seems to be that she's accepting that she didn't ask for any more money, and perhaps by referring to money that is being spent, she is actually hinting at the perhaps impossibility of spending more money. Perhaps it is that they can only spend a certain amount per month and they are at that limit. But just going back to what you were, the point which you were rightly drawing, the distinction between capital spending and revenue spending, it's absolutely correct that those are meant to be two quite separate funding streams, but it has to be said that in the past, Stormont has been pretty relaxed about moving money between each of those. And even if you look at the revenue allocations this week, I mean, there's $2.5 million to the City of Derry Airport for expanding routes. There is £1 million to education for Irish medium nurture units and other pressures. I mean, it's difficult to argue that either of those things are more pressing, worthy as they may well be, than waiting lists, which are clearly, and the executive accepts this, in a state of crisis.
What if, so again, let's sit back here. So what if what they're actually doing is they're saying, look, okay, there's no money now, but we're very much trying to deal with the big picture, and the executive is going to prioritise in the recurrent money. In other words, in the big yearly budget that the health service gets, that's going to be the priority, and they're going to get a lot more money. If that is the case, and there are questions around that, where's that money coming from, and therefore, which other departments is it coming from? What other departments are going to have to sacrifice spending so that health can be prioritised? But even if that is happening, one of the implications for every month that you don't pump extra money into waiting lists go up. So it's an even bigger problem for the government to tackle when they do have their new plan. Every single month from now until they do pump in extra money to waiting lists, the waiting lists aren't standing still because of the demand for operations. And this is the dilemma they've got. It's a complex situation. Those waiting lists are going up. Anne in Lisburn, morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, Stephen.
Tell me about your situation.
Well, Stephen, I am waiting. I'll be waiting a year in November for a total hip replacement. And because it was coming up near my date, I rang up and I was told it wouldn't be November, it might be December. But then she added, well, it might be November. So I rang up again, and it was the secretary.
And this is last November. This is November 2015 we're talking about, correct?
They said it would be November this year.
This year, sorry.
It
okay.
was last year. Last November I was seen by the consultant.
Okay.
And then I rang again, and she said, no, it won't be November, and it won't be December, because she said the consultant, the surgeon, is only has one day in December, he's going on annual leave. Well, I said, would it be January then? Well, she says, you're deemed as high risk. I said, high risk? Now I'm 75 and I'm in good health. She said, yes. I said, what do you mean? Oh, she says, I wouldn't worry about it. You know? So I rang the GP yesterday.
So when you hear, Anne, yes? When you hear us telling you today that it's our understanding the minister has not asked for any extra money in the October monitoring round for waiting lists, what message does that send out to you?
I think they've got their priorities wrong. I don't think they care, really.
Philip Smith?
I think Anne's absolutely right. She nailed it there. They've got their priorities wrong. And this is meant to be the number one priority, both of Bengoa and of the executive, and they should have found resources to target this, because, as you rightly say, every month this rolls on, it compounds and makes the situation worse. So even if the health minister finds the money in the new year, there will be increased compounded waiting lists going forward. So they're making like people like Anne all over the country who are sitting waiting for operations waiting to see consultants for appointments. And it, undoubtedly, it's stressing them. Well, they're having to live with a difficult situation.
So here's what more than likely has happened. There was no extra money. The money wasn't there. They can't magic it out of nowhere. Next question for that. If there's no money now, is there likely to be much money in January? So if there's no money now, how likely is it that there's money in January? It's only 2 months away.
Well, absolutely. But I think what I think the executive should have done was proactively look across all the budgets and challenge the ministers to come forward with contributions to tackle the waiting list issue, because it is the number one priority for everyone in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, and that's one way of looking at it. But there are other pressures on government, aren't there? You know, you think of the pressures that there are on the Department of Education, on the Department of Infrastructure. You think of all of those different departments in government who are essentially pleading for money, because that's what's important to us in our lives. We don't just say, OK, we're getting treated, that's OK. We want our roads done. We want services in Northern Ireland. And are you actually saying take money from budgets that have already been allocated, Philip? Is this the new Ulster Unionist Party policy?
Well, I think that's what the executive's meant to do in a joined-up fashion. That's the whole idea behind Programme for Government, is to tackle overall government priorities rather than individual silos.
Okay, so which department would you take it from?
Well, the difficulty, Stephen, is that this whole process is now secret, so no one knows. In the past, in monitoring rounds, they used to disclose what departments had asked for and what they got. Now, that's no longer disclosed, so neither you nor I can actually see what people needed or what required. So it's a very much a secret process. They say it's more efficient. It certainly helps the government in terms of hiding the difficulties that they may have, but it doesn't help you or I in terms of trying to scrutinise or shine light on the problems that the executive may have. So it is very difficult for either journalists or opposition parties to actually double decision.
You're the same man when you're urging this executive to spend more money. You are the same man, Philip Smith, that on the 8th of July of this year said that the Northern Ireland executive spent £74.5 million paying interest on debt, £5.5 million more than it's spending this year. And you said the unsustainable DUP Sinn Féin policy of borrow and spend is exactly what caused previous UK governments to get our public finances in such a state of crisis.
Yeah, and they don't need to borrow for this. They have a budget of multi-billions that they can look at. And surely when you're talking about maybe 50 or 60 million.
But you were essentially saying that the executive was spending and borrowing too much already in July of this year.
But if
you were criticising him in July for spending and borrowing too much, and now you're criticising them for not spending enough.
No, I'm criticising them for not prioritising the key issue that everybody in Northern Ireland agrees is the number one priority. That's the key.
So you describe yourselves as the official opposition. Where would you take this money? It's not currently there. I think it's safe to say they don't have extra money as we sit now. Where would you take it from?
Well, that's nigh on impossible for somebody sitting here without having access to the books and the information. And because they now no longer disclose that, then it's impossible for either a journalist or for an opposition MLA to make that decision. I think that's the challenge back to the executive to tell us why they haven't. What are the difficulties that they have that stops them making this investment? And again, as I say, the number one priority for both the government and the people of Northern Ireland.
Sam McBride, what questions are there this morning then for the executive? What do we need more information so we have a better understanding here of what has gone on?
Well, I think at its simplest, we need the minister to be clear, first of all, as to whether she did ask for any money. It seems that she didn't.
It is my understanding that she did not ask for more money for waiting lists from the October monitoring round. I have that from a very reliable source.
Well, I think that came out first last night on your television programme, I think it would be pretty extraordinary if the minister had not come out by this stage to refute it, if it was indeed not accurate. But I think that if there is some logical explanation for this, we should hear it. And that's what government's about. It's about communicating with people. This is clearly one of the most pressing issues for maybe 200,000 or 300,000 people in Northern Ireland and for their families. I think they deserve to be told if there is a very good reason as to why this money was not requested.